Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've blessed us with and the awesome opportunity to be able to get into your word and study. Help us now as we continue to study about endurance. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word endurance, if you will turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We see here, it reads, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with God the Father, our everlasting life that He has granted us, simply by trusting in Him as our Lord and Savior, and His Word, what He says counts and will last forever, endureth forever. But you know, there's some other things that will not endure forever, and that is this planet that we are on. The current planet that we are on shall not endure forever. It will actually be destroyed. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth that will endure forever. As it reads in 2 Peter chapter 3, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Now here he's pointing out the scoffers, the unbelievers, those that criticize the Word of God, those that criticize the prophecies, those that criticize the second coming. And they're saying, well, if it's going to happen, why hadn't it happened already? And they doubt the creation, they doubt the worldwide flood. Because he's pointing that out specifically here as he continues, "whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." They don't believe that there was a worldwide judgment. The reason that people do not want to believe that there was a worldwide flood is because then they would have to acknowledge that there's accountability. Because God judged this entire planet. He brought the flood, basically killing every man, woman, and child on the entire planet, but the eight that were saved by following His instructions, building the ark and going inside. We have been given instructions. We have been given an opportunity of salvation as well by receiving Jesus Christ, being in Him and Him in us. And we have that opportunity. If you pass that opportunity up, you will be destroyed for eternity in the lake fire. And these folks don't want to think about an eternity in the lake fire, so they doubt that there ever was a judgment around the entire planet, so that they can think that they're just evolved pawn scum, and when this life's over, it's done. Nothing to be accountable for. And then they go out and do whatever they please based on the standards that they set for themselves. And that's basically what it's always about, selfishness. But let's look here as he further describes this. "But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Note here mentioning the fire. He gave us the rainbow to remind us, and as a covenant symbol, that he will not destroy the planet with water again. Next time it's going to be with fire. And it's not just going to be the surface, it's going to be the entire planet. All of the created material in existence, as he continues, he describes this. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Here he's getting back to the point of their bringing up that, well, why hasn't he already come? If he's going to come, he says he's going to come quickly, why hadn't he already come? It's been over 2,000 years. But it doesn't mean it's going to be imminent. It means it's going to be suddenly, unexpectedly, when he says come quickly. And here he points out he is outside of time. Jesus Christ spoke time into existence. A day or 1,000 years, insignificant to him. So why is he waiting? He tells us here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What's that promise? That he's going to come back and receive us up to be with him. In John chapter 14, he gives us those encouraging words that he's coming back for us. But is long-suffering to us. He's patient with us, patient with mankind in general, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's read 9 again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's holding out. He wants more to come in, more to become part of the family, more people to accept him as their Lord and Savior before he passes judgment upon all of creation. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord, now this day of the Lord is the last days, the judgment, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let's talk about the particles that everything's made up in. Because he tells us, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It means everything gone, melted away. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Like, you know there's going to be a day of accountability. You know there's going to be a day when everything around us is going to be completely destroyed, wiped out, gone. So how should you behave? Here's exactly how we should behave. With all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. And that is truly what I feel all the time. Looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Looking forward to the day of judgment. And if you're not looking forward to the day of judgment, there's something you need to get right. So take it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. And you can be looking forward to the day of judgment as well. Looking forward to the hastening. Nope, one more time. Looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Bringing it up again. Melting the elements with fervent heat, even the heavens. What he's speaking of here is all of the elements that he spoke into existence in the 6 days of creation, he is going to wipe out. Melt away, gone completely. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that is awesome. Praise the Lord, we got a brand new heaven, a brand new earth to be looking forward to for eternity. And some folks say, well, all the many, many years, it's going to be kind of crowded. This planet's only so big, and there's going to be a lot of folks on it. Well, we don't know how big the new planet's going to be. It might be 1,000 times bigger than Jupiter. So it's going to be whatever it needs to be to serve the Lord in the way he wants it to serve. and it's going to be way beyond what we could imagine. Read 13 again. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. How can you become without spot and blameless? Just like it says over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what you do. You confess. You mess up, confess it. You mess up, take it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for strength to overcome the temptations so that you don't do the same dumb thing again. So we have the opportunity to be there at Judgment Day without spot and blameless. And when you are without spot and blameless, filled with the Holy Ghost, in tune with the Holy Ghost, prayed up, you will have what He's speaking of there, peace. You may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Because if you're truly born again Christian and you're prayed up, everything's all taken care of, then you're at peace. You're at peace because you're not worried about leaving here and being at Judgment Day. You're at peace because you're not worried about this planet being destroyed because you know you have a brand new one to look forward to. You're at peace because you are spotless and blameless because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can face whatever is out there with peace. Even death itself, death, separation of this body, at peace at that moment when you're leaving here. Because you're looking forward to. It says you're looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Verse 14 again. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. So we know His patience is because He wants more and more to come in to be a part of the family. So like He says once again over in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know that this world that we are in will not endure. It will be destroyed completely and totally. And we know that we have a brand new heaven and a brand new earth to look forward to, because He clearly tells us that over in Revelation chapter 21 in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. All of it gone, vaporized, the elements themselves totally destroyed and gone. And that's what we have to look forward to, a life with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost, all on a brand new heaven, brand new earth that will endure forever. And over in 1 John chapter 5, we can see here how we need to be overcomers. And when we overcome things, we endure. So we're going to get into this word overcometh, and hear this word overcometh in our next few verses we're going to touch on. Because if you have endurance against temptation, endurance against failing, endurance against wavering, endurance against doubting, then you become an overcomer. So having the endurance to face whatever is out there, then you become an overcomer. And we can become an overcomer because we trust in the one who has overcome everything, which is Jesus Christ. He overcame the world and all the temptations and so forth. So when we trust in Him, He comes into us. He gives us the strength to be overcomers as well. And we can endure all of that. So let's look at that here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if you truly believe, that means to live in, by living in Jesus Christ, because He's in you and you're in Him when you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. If you were one of those, then you are born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. All the commandments that he ever gave, even the ordinances and statutes and so forth of the Old Testament, were all designed to get our eyes on Jesus Christ, to love God, and to love others. And Jesus Christ brought this out, pointed this out, that the two great commandments that he really emphasized, that if you keep these two, that all the others fall right into place. It can be found over in Matthew, in chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that's what he's talking about when keeping his commandments. Because he points out there, if you truly love God with all your existence, he's going to let you know exactly what you're supposed to do and not do, because you're going to be indwelt with the Holy Ghost. And if you love others as yourself, then that takes care of majority of those other commandments as well, and the prophets he's speaking of there. It all comes in, because you're not going to be hating him, you're not going to be killing him, you're not going to be cheating, you're not going to be stealing, and so forth, if you love others as yourself. So it all wraps up into those two. Love God with all your existence, and love others as yourself. And when we do that, then we're pleasing God and receiving the maximum amount of benefits and rewards that he wants to have us enjoy. And we please in him. The reason for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard. It's not laborious. It's not something that can't be done. So we need to all do it. Challenging at times, yes, especially the part about loving others as yourself. But he points out here, if we truly love God, then we're going to love others. Verse 4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. No, when you truly love God, he's going to give you the strength to endure the temptations, to endure the challenges, and endure the persecutions, and so forth, and overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So when we're truly born again, the Holy Ghost comes into us, connects up to our spirit, continually to communicate with the Father, giving us the strength that we need, giving us the endurance to be able to overcome all of the evil out there. Alright, now let's look at some more references to being an overcomer and enduring various challenges. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we see the letters to the churches. And these letters to the churches speak of the situations that were going on in those seven churches, and points out the good things that are going on, and sometimes the bad things as well. So let's look at a few of these. If you will, turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, where it reads, And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Talking about the good things that are going on at the church at Ephesus. But then he also points out what's not quite right. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh sin, overcometh temptation, overcometh the devil. The only way you're going to do that continuously is by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and sticking with that. He pointed out about the church of Ephesus here, having some good things, having some good work going on, but they were pulling away from their first love. What was their first love? To totally trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were starting to become religious. They were going through the motions. They looked good. They were acting good, but they weren't good because they weren't truly devoted to the Lord. They were devoted to the appearance, to the works. You've got to stay true to your first love. Your first love is to love Jesus Christ. All right, let's continue on here, and we can see another letter to church at Samaria, where it reads in verse 8, "And to the angel of the church in Samaria write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Tell them to endure. Keep the faith. Hold on. There is, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And that's what really matters. The second death is what he's speaking of here. The second death is the separation, total and complete separation from God for eternity, cast into the lake of fire. If you're an overcomer, you're a born-again Christian. If you're an overcomer, you'll endure such hardship that he's speaking of there earlier. The tribulations, the persecutions, the imprisonment, even the physical death that they can put upon you, but they cannot pull you away from Jesus Christ. As it continues here in verse 12, we see a letter to Pergamos. It reads, "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not defied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." It's interesting here, he's speaking of a situation that they had where they were in an area that was considered this Satan's seat. And many of us out there have this kind of situation in our lives, where you are amongst the ungodly. You may be in the midst of a big city, or even in the midst of a smaller town or a city that is pure evil, but you're right there in the midst of that. But actually be grateful for that, because you endure in things that other people don't have to endure, and you are able to shine the light of Jesus Christ into that really, really dark area. And when you have even a little bit of light brought into the darkness, it illuminates quite a bit. So endure the challenge that sets before you, and be an overcomer as it continues. "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." we need to always be willing to call upon the Lord's help to look at us. We might be able to see the things that we're doing that are right, but sometimes we overlook the things that we're failing to do or the things that we're doing wrong. And if we truly desire the Lord to examine us, like David writes about in the Psalms, look at me, Lord, is there something that needs to be fixed? Is there something that I'm not quite doing right? Show that to me so I can get it right to bring more and more honor and glory to you. As it continues, verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save it he that receiveth it. The rewards, the place, the prominence, the glory, the positions, so much ahead of us, all by the grace of God, that's for sure. But we can go on and on through these various letters here and see the various things that we could learn. But primarily, it is speaking of how we need to endure, we need to fight, we need to continue to do our very best so that we can look forward to that new heaven and new earth which will last for eternity. Let's read that again in Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Awesome words of encouragement, knowing that we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, which will endure for eternity and be able to be there with God, walking around in that new Jerusalem and being able to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ up and down those golden streets. So much to look forward to. It's exciting. Let's go ahead and close here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. Encouraging, very, very encouraging. And help us all be endurers. Help us all be overcomers. When you see those temptations, to just turn away from them. Help us all hang in there and do the right thing all the time so that we can always bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.